Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Hello, welcome. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the unceded and ancestral territory of the Halkomelem and Squamish speaking peoples. I'm Jesse, here with you this hour to share some talk and some tunes, mostly talk though. Today on the show, pretty packed, pretty diverse, wide-ranging show. I'm going to be speaking with Merrill Farmer, who is from the SFU Department of Archaeology and is organizing an event called the Kairos Blanket Exercise, which is an immersive experience that walks participants through the experiences of indigenous peoples from the time of contact to the present day. That'll be coming up. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to hand things over to Danny and Iago to talk about a recent eventful Burnaby City Council meeting. So that'll all be coming up, and then maybe some other stuff, depending on how much time we have. As usual, here on Speak Up on Thursday mornings, and any time I host, I suppose, we're going to start with a little bit of local music. Today we are going to going back to Weird Hang, who I've played a couple times over the last few weeks, from their self-titled demo EP. This is Take Me Away.
We'll be right back.
is bird note. In winter, when snow blankets the northern states, nearly all of the beautiful songbirds that grace the days of summer are long gone. They're living out the cold months in warmer climes. But there's one special winter visitor that goes a long way to filling the absence left by the birds of summer. Picture a starling-sized bird with a swanky crest, a black mask, wings painted in red, yellow, black, and white, and a tail boldly tipped with yellow. This glamorous winter visitor is the Bohemian waxwing. When Bohemian waxwings appear on the scene, they arrive in flocks, often numbering in the hundreds. They roam the landscape in search of winter fruits, berries of mountain ash or juniper, rose hips, even unpicked apples. In autumn, departing their summer haunts in the boreal forest, waxwings wander south into the northern states and along the Rockies. Some years they venture even farther south. In fact, it's this itinerant life that earned them the name Bohemian, although the name seems equally well suited to their unconventional and exquisite appearance. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse. You just heard a little bit of music. You heard Take Me Away by Weird Hang. And as we wait for our first interviewee of the day to get to the studio and get set up, we're just going to hear another track by another local artist. This one is called Infidelity. They've been on my other show, the Vancouver Mixtape, which you can find Sunday evenings at 8 p.m. and also repeated throughout the week in the mornings. They're called Infidelity, and this one is called 23 and Infinity.
Lost my rights and became my enemy. Wish it'd stop. When it's dark out, I'll be outside.
Check it right, la la la. Glory of the night. Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started. So I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
Welcome back to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. I'm Jesse, and I'm joined now by Meryl Farmer. Hello.
Hi.
You are with the Department of Archaeology.
Yep.
I don't actually know your position or role within the department.
I am the manager on the academic and admin side. So, yeah.
Great. And you're here today to talk about the Kairos Blanket Exercise that is happening next Thursday from 10 until 1, I believe, or the gathering starts at 9:30 and then it'll go for 3 hours after 10 o'clock.
Yeah, and then we'll have a little reflection time after over some, coffee and snacks. And so people are welcome to stay for a bit, but yeah.
Great. Well, I guess the first question is, what is the Kairos Blanket Exercise?
Yeah, so the Kairos Blanket Exercise is, an immersive experience for attendees to get a real hands-on and experiential experience learning about colonization and the lives of Indigenous peoples through their lens, with, hopefully what is more of, rather than learning about it in a book or hearing it from a lecture, something that will hopefully be moving to the attendees and really showcase the lives of what they went through treaties, residential schools, and even today, the impact of those things on Indigenous peoples. So, yeah.
And what motivated or made you and the SFU Archaeology Department decide to host this event?
Yeah, so it's something that I heard a couple of colleagues talking about. They had gone to one and said, oh, wouldn't it be great if we could do something like that here? And that was right around, reconciliation time back in September, October. And I would have loved to been able to plan it, but, obviously these things take some time. And so I looked into it and found out that there's a local facilitator who's trained and certified to deliver the experience, and reached out to them, but also reached out to Indigenous Studies, the Office of Aboriginal Peoples, Faculty of Education, pretty much anybody who, leads the Indigenous learning and experience at SFU, to see if they wanted to get involved. I think it's, not necessarily archaeology's sole place to do that, to host something like that without recognizing that there are others at SFU that might want to get involved. So we reached out to them and see if they want to co-host or co-sponsor the event. And from there we were able to, it took a bit, but solidify a date. And it's scheduled for next Thursday, but it's been a long time in the making.
A lot of moving parts, and as you said, lots of different people and organizations involved. Can you tell me anything about Moontide Reconciliation, the organization that's leading the event?
Yeah, so when you're looking at Kairos, there's only a certain amount of people who are certified to deliver the experience. And so I reached out to the sort of main hosts of the thing, and they said, you know, here's a list of the different organizations that are trained to deliver it. And immediately reached out to Moontide because they were local Vancouver company, and you know, they were gung ho. I was worried a bit about the size of the event because I'm thinking, you know, we might get, you know, up to 100 people maybe at this one, and they had no problem. You know, it's a woman by the name of Shauna Sparrow who sort of owns the organization. Her and her husband, so a family-owned company, but they have a team of facilitators and youth workers and elders that they work with quite frequently. And they said, no problem. You know, we do this sort of thing all the time with really large groups. And it's not going to be a problem. But it's, you know, offered to be online. I said, no, I really don't want it to be online. You know, we're kind of done with that. So, maybe I would be able to reach more people with the online experience, but I don't think it would be as... You know, it wouldn't have the integrity of the event that we're really looking for at SFU.
And maybe a different kind of impact doing it in person versus
exactly
remotely.
Yeah, everything that I heard about it from my colleagues, they said it's so moving that you really have to be there in person.
With that in mind, you do have to be there in person to experience it. Can you describe a little bit what people might experience if they come to the event?
Well, I mean, I've never done it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be, you know, just as new to it as the attendees. But from what I've heard, it is, something that every single person that is in attendance will participate in some capacity. And they'll leave there with a different understanding of colonization and treaties and reservations and through a very, you know, an experience where you can't learn it in a book, you can't read it in a story. And basically, if I had to describe it, we're going to be all in a circle on chairs, and there's going to be four facilitators at this one because of the size, and as they tell the story of time since contact to now, pretty much the blankets represent land, they represent culture, they represent language, and that's slowly taken away over time. So the blankets get taken away, they shrink, they move, they, get destroyed pretty much. And so that each person in the audience is contributing or in a positive way or a negative way to that.
Right.
So that you're really understanding the story of Indigenous history from the lens of Indigenous peoples.
Right, and really taking something that is often talked about or learned about in the abstract and turning it physical, turning it into, as you said, an experiential activity.
Exactly. You know, like we take these cultural protocol courses as staff, faculty, even students, and, a Canvas course or, you know, even Sanya's a massive open online course. And I think it's important, don't get me wrong, but I think that really hearing it from the people and also seeing it happen, is just very moving. Mm-hmm. That's what really sold me on it was, you know, can we Can we change a perspective? Yes, we can, with a book or a story, even an oral history. But can we make people feel that story?
Great. This is sort of a big question that I want to maybe not leave on, but sort of use as our off-ramp. And that's, you know, the relationship of archaeology to colonization and its history with Indigenous people. You know, there are negatives and there are positives. It's complicated. Why, in your view, as the manager in the archaeology department, why is it important to be, or I guess, what is the relationship of archaeology to reconciliation? How do you see that?
Well, that's a very loaded question.
Yeah.
But I think that there's not really any other department that should offer something like this other than archaeology. You can take our classes and you can learn about how we have, transformed through the discipline to meet the expectations of reconciliation. But yes, we have a really, not always a positive history, but it's something that our students learn in every single class that they take. I don't think it's necessarily something that every student at SFU learns in classes that they take. Yeah, I'm sure in some they would touch on it, but this is something that students in archaeology learn every day. You know, they know what words to say, what's respectful, what's not. They make mistakes for sure, just like, the old timers that went through the discipline. They made mistakes too, but I think that that's one thing that archaeology sort of understands is the importance of this subject, and so I think that what better discipline to offer something like this, Anna?
Yeah, this is where I reveal that I was in the Department of Archaeology from 2005 to 2011.
Oh, and my gosh.
I know from experience that what I learned in those classes and the perspective on Indigenous people and colonization and archaeology's role in all of that really, really impacted me and changed the way that I thought about all of those things. So, I can endorse that. It seems like...
I am so happy to hear that.
Yeah.
I don't know how I don't recognize you because I've been there since like 2006. So.
Well, I disappeared pretty quickly after graduating and started doing radio. So that's probably it. So the Kairos Blanket Exercise is happening next Thursday, February 13th, here at SFU, just outside of the Museum of, or the...
Museum of Archaeology.
Museum of Archaeology. Yeah, I was getting confused with the other MOA at the other institution. People can sign up through Eventbrite.
Yeah. I think we only have like maybe 10 spots left. So
jump on it.
It is filling up fast, which is super exciting. And we have people from like every walk of life at SFU and beyond. You know, we have community members from Burnaby, high school counselors, obviously students, faculty, and staff. But I think that, it's definitely something that you want to jump on. It's rarely offered. Like it's, quite, when it is offered at a university or, a civic sort of community sort of event, it's usually fills up.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I can see, it's only maybe once in every few years that it's offered.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, if you haven't signed up, definitely get on it. We'll have a wait list just in case. And we'll try to fit in as many people as we can. Yeah.
Great. Well, I'm very excited. I'll be there. I want to thank you for coming on Speak Up this morning to share news and information about the Kairos Blanket Exercise with our listeners.
Yeah, thank you.
Great. That is Merrill Farmer from the SFU Department of Archaeology chatting about the Kairos Blanket Exercise, which will happen next Thursday, the 13th of February, up here at SFU. You can go to Eventbrite and look up Kairos Blanket Exercise with a K, K-A-I-R-O-S, K-A-I-R-O-S, and you'll find it there. All right, we're going to go to a little bit of music, and then we will have a whole new set of hosts in here for the second half of Speak Up. Thanks for hanging out. This is Snotty Nose Res Kids with their track Red Future.
Looking bright and real sacred as the youth. Red Future.